Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Samson-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my girl?
How are you, darling? I'm pretty good.
Good. And we were just commenting before the show how chilly it is here in New York.
Don't even. I can't. I really, really can't. I'm just, I think that our listeners will kind of laugh here, because especially for the New York people, because we do, obviously, we reside in New York, therefore we draw a lot of attention in New York here. But for those of you around the country, you're really, really seeing some out of the ordinary weather, just as we are right now. And for example of this is that we're sitting over here freezing today in New York, and Fargo, North Dakota, right now is at 89 degrees. So I just can't even.
And I know we just would like some warm. We would like
it's
a little
56
warm
degrees and raining here.
Okay,
I
right
mean,
now
it's
it
crazy.
Says 50 in my thermometer, 50 in East Patchogue right now, so it's even worse.
Yeah, I'm at 56 here in Northport. I'm at 56. I mean, it has been rainier than Seattle this week. Seattle, which is known for its rain, has had nothing but sun since, you know, I think last Friday.
Wow.
I think that they're not due to get any kind of rain, it figures, until Sunday. But yeah, like they have like had almost no rain this week, and even they are at 64 degrees on the West Coast. It's nuts.
Wow.
It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, we're going to pray for a little warm weather coming our way, because we could use that. I know I can.
I would definitely say. Oh my God, my allergies, please.
Okay, I was saying the same thing. My allergies haven't bothered me in years, but, you know, the rain, they say, is bringing down them in, like, record numbers, so I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I haven't had allergies in years. What's with this today? So, you know.
Yeah, you
not
know what?
Most,
I had really bad allergies.
Well, yeah, I know. I could feel it in my throat this morning. I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's bad.
You know?
It's bad.
So, let's dry things up around here. Well, I guess maybe
we can
warm things up with our show. And we did have a few people who had emailed me earlier, and we will get to Stacy and Caitlin today. And I think we're going to do Caitlin first, then we'll do Stacy, and you can then be screening all these other callers that seem to want to talk to us. But we always need to tell our listeners, what do they need to do if they want to speak to us?
Yes, listeners, if you wish to speak to Cindy or myself, please press the number 1 on your keypads. This way I will get that lovely little alert that tells me that you want to be on the air. So as Cindy said before, Caitlin and Stacy have graciously emailed so that they can be some of the first in line today. And we are going to go into, I guess, Nassau County and talk to Caitlin right now. So here we go. Hello, Caitlin. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Caitlin. You are so sweet. Your little emails are just so sweet, and you're just my little favorite.
Thank you.
And I know, you know, Caitlin is a phenomenal life coach, and she's, you know, you're doing your certification now. Is that what was going on?
Yeah. Okay. I took my certification test this week.
And you know, you said the person giving the test wasn't the warm fuzzy type, huh?
No.
And is this person a certified life coach herself?
Yes.
Because wouldn't you think she would be like, aren't life coaches supposed to be nice and positive
and
make
open?
Us feel like good about ourselves and that we can be the best people we can? They're not supposed to make us feel like insecure and that we're stupid and we can't be
yeah.
our best. I mean,
exactly
that kind of person. That kind of person always brings out the worst in me, by the way. Those are the kind of people that if they're like they're going to get a reading and they're really negative and they're really like, oh, you know, they're really like down on readings and this and that, all of a sudden they bring out the worst in me. All of a sudden, like, well, maybe
yeah.
I can't read you. Because
yeah.
positivity, and I know you really are a person who always likes to empower people. That's what you're like. So you want to share why you called in and, you know, what's on your mind about this? Because I felt terrible about that, but I felt like saying, come here, I'll certify you.
That's what I was thinking. Like, you know, I've been getting so much validation from everybody I've been around. I've been coaching people. I've been doing complimentary sessions. I held a workshop. So I'm doing really good. This is my life's passion. This is my life's dream. So when I came and there was something, like, there was an inkling in me, and I'm very intuitive in the sense of coaching especially. There was, like, a few days before, I felt, like, a little inkling in me that, like, started, like, very fear, like, very much that there was going to be something that was going to come up that wasn't going to be good. So when I got to the call, I tried to let that go. I meditated before, and I got into the call, and this woman was totally resistant, where I couldn't tap into her energy and actually coach her, and it went terrible on both ends. And then she emailed me, and she kind of emailed me, it seemed to cover her butt and more on the corporate end, and I was very upset about that. So tomorrow I'm talking to my advisor, but I'm like, I don't know what to do from here because I'm really upset with the school, with the way that they handled a lot of things throughout the program.
And it's funny because, you know, I really can't stand when people, like, want to interview me for something or the same thing, and I have to give them a reading or whatever, and I'm like, you know, you're coaching someone who's supposed to be a life coach. Does she really need you to coach her? So how are you supposed to know how to coach her anyway?
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't natural.
It's absurd.
It's absurd.
And, you know, it's funny because it is a school that's supposed to, you know, what do they want if you don't pass the certification? Now do you have to give them more money because you have to take more classes?
I don't know. See, they didn't give us any information as to what we do from here. And that upset me too, is you don't give me the information that I need to move on because you failed me, you know?
And also, I mean, there is a sort of conflict of interest here. If they fail you from a certification, you have to start probably taking some more classes again, and they can get another $1,000 from you or whatever. And
yeah.
It doesn't seem right. And, you know, what's going on here is I got the devil card on her, which I don't like because that's a manipulator, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, you know, you've been manipulated here. If I were you, you're going to have to do what we teach as righteous anger. I want you to not go in there like with a hissy fit and like, you know, you can hissy fit with me because, you know, that's appropriate here.
Yeah.
But when you go in, you have to say, you know, I love the course. I'm very, and, you know, but this is what bothers me, A, B, C, D.
Mm-hmm.
And just have some facts ready
mm-hmm.
so that, I'll give you an example. When I was at Nasser Community College, I had gone to Israel with the school and I had to write a paper about the kibbutz system. And this was in like 1973. And I observed what I believed to be truth was that the kibbutz system, which is like socialist and everybody, you know, puts in all their money together and the kids were all living in a children's house and the people couldn't watch their own children. You know, they had to be watched in the children's houses. And I observed with the younger generation that they were very discontent and that,
mm-hmm.
you know, say they became a doctor, they had to go to school for 8 years, then they owed the kibbutz 16 years. So they couldn't leave for 16 more years. But what they were all saying, as soon as they had paid, like, they had 8 years education, they had to do 16 there. If they had 4 years, they had to be the eight. They were all saying as soon as they completed what they owed the kibbutz, they were going to be leaving because they wanted to be part of a capitalist culture. They didn't like it. So my paper was basically that the kibbutz system would not last 35 more years. And my
yeah.
professor, who was such an avid lover of the kibbutz system, wanted to give me a D. And I had to argue with the dean that, you know, this is a well-written paper, and this is what I believe. And, of course, the dean gave me an A because it was a good paper. Almost to the day of 35 years later, the kibbutz system fell in Israel, by the way.
Wow.
So
yeah.
What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes you can be right or you could be doing good, but if it's not the person's, what they think or the way they, she may coach, she may have just personally not liked you or whatever. But did you know if anybody else didn't pass, by the way? Do you know about that?
Well, there was somebody after me that used, that was in my group, and I found out that she passed, and she found out the day after. So I immediately was like, okay, this school is giving me a problem, because I was coaching based off of intuition, and that's what you do as a coach, but I'm very intuitive in coaching, and I could tell that my coaching style wasn't working for her. She was telling me, you're delving way too deep into this, you're not listening. Well, because I'm trying to take, you know, your surface level situation and coach you on it, and I'm a spiritual life coach, so I'm trying to connect you, but you're not even open. She was very resistant, and it did not work at all. And then she sent me that email, and I was just like, this is how you feel. I wasn't upset going into this call. I was ready, you know?
Right, so you can see it's kind of coming across personal, but what I would do is just address the facts of it, and perhaps you can ask to get another person that you could do a certification with.
Yeah.
Because you may have not been a good fix. I would equate it to if I was doing relationship coaching, and when I'm doing it, I'm bringing up psychic, and the person would tell me, don't do the psychic stuff. But both things work with me. Do you know what I mean? I can't separate the two. Nor if when people, when I'm doing psychic and I'm bringing up relationship or psychology, and they go, no, I just want psychic. I can't separate them. Okay?
Yeah.
They're linked. So, you know, what I'm seeing here is, you know, you're a little bit depressed over this, and there's a lot of moodiness on your part. But, you know, you also need to perhaps, I would probably put it in writing. Okay, I would write a letter. Letters are extremely effective. And, you know, you might go as high as you can on this, you know, to the CEO of the place or the head person.
Okay.
Because, and put on the envelope to that person, it's personal and confidential. And write down, you know, you recently went for your certification and, you know, your style of coaching didn't seem to work with the person and, you know, you're upset by this and, you know, what you want, you know, you want to be given another chance. Write a letter, put it in writing. And if you have other things you're not happy about, you might want to add it in there a little bit. But, the DISC program cost you a lot of money, which I'm assuming
did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, could you go to their website and see what happens if you don't pass the certification?
I tried to look. I didn't find anything, and they didn't give me any information. They didn't give me any information either about how I'm going to be graded, what scenarios may look like, you know, how to prepare us on the end of an actual test. So I went in there being like, okay, I'm ready to coach. But she wasn't going in there as a genuine client. She was going in there as a tester, which totally didn't connect with me as an intuitive life coach. Because if you don't want to be an open client and you're resistant and you're doing a different job than actually being a client, how can I? It's like you trying to read somebody who's closed and doesn't believe. You know, it was very, very hard. And I was really, really upset after. Like, my heart was so heavy. I completely, you know, I started crying. And I took it really hard because I was like,
I can
wow.
see that here. I can see that. And part of it is older souls want everybody to like them. And it's really painful for us when we think we're doing a good job and somebody say, well, you didn't do a good job. I mean, but that seems to be very much in America, by the way. You know, and I think it's becoming an extremely mean culture. And I think the way she was responding, she was sort of attacking you personally, not really, you know, you're supposed to say, you know, Caitlin, you know, I like the way you approach things and you have a unique approach to life coaching. But I think you need to, like, I get that you're doing intuition, but what I want from you is just if I'm having trouble about finding a job, I just want you to give me some concrete steps. I mean, she could have, like, laid it out. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that she could have guided you toward what she wanted.
Yes, which she didn't. She paused. She stopped talking to me. She left me in silence, which I'm okay with silence. I'll let people have the time and space to think. But it was a different type of silence. It was just like she was going to have me sit there until I said something, which you don't break the silence as a coach. So I used every single skill I could in this situation. And I was just like, what more could I have done to succeed in a situation like that as a coach? You know?
And again, you need to address the fact that, you know, you want to get your certification. I mean, I'd be really, really, like, you know, telling them if they say, well, you need to spend another $1,000 or whatever to get sort of, that you might go to Consumers Affairs on that. I mean, if you didn't pass and you've already paid for a course, then they just need to give you some, like, remedial something that you go in and take another one. I mean, because can you see the conflict of interest here?
If
they fail out 10% or 20% of people, then they have to get more money from them. So,
and that's because they didn't tell me, I don't know if I can just take it again and it'd be fine. But the thing is, it's like, if I'm taking it again, I want it to be a genuine experience. I don't want to take it again to feel the same way and be in the same situation, which I'm not trying to assume that that's going to be it again. But at the same time, like, if they have a certain rubric that they go by and they're not in the moment of actually being a client, coaching is not effective in that moment. So, you know, I'm just, it's conflict of interest, I guess, on
well,
my
you need
part.
Well, you also need to also just get them to say you need someone to tell me what it is I'm supposed to be doing here. What is, how do you want me to do this? You know, it's like when, you know, I was a theater major and a playwriting major, and I had to take acting classes, and I had a teacher that particularly didn't like women, okay? That's the best way I could describe him. And I always got A's in all my courses, okay? I was a very good student. And the only C I ever got was in this acting class, okay? Because it was very subjective. I mean, he was grading what I acted, and he didn't like it. He didn't like me. So it was the most subjective thing. And I had to argue with him, you know, again, in the head of the department. And he was supposed to bring it up to a B. And, you know, he said, yeah, sure. And, you know, by the time I graduated, I realized he never changed the grade. I mean, could you imagine? He didn't even change the grade. Like, he went, yeah, sure, and didn't. But it was very subjective. Like, this is a very subjective thing. So I think maybe you need to say, what are your guidelines? You know,
I
have to speak clearly. Maybe they need to give you something that says, okay, we're going to give you a woman who's, having a hard time making a job transition, or give whatever example, and how would you guide her, and it just seems like you're going to have to speak to them. I'm surprised you didn't, did you try to call today? Or anybody?
I'm gonna be talking to my, after the woman sent me an email after we had the phone conversation and pretty much stated everything that at that moment that's not really what I was feeling. She was making a lot of assumptions. And then in that email, probably how she felt at that moment, which that makes sense. And then so she said that I'm gonna contact your advisor. So she contacted my advisor, who I'm speaking to tomorrow. And like, I have a list of things, like point blank, like just facts on this is how I felt in that situation. And I did the best thing as a coach in a situation like that. And what more did you want from me? You know.
And you know, also it's funny, like what you're also stating, and it's clear, not every life coach is right for a person. I'm not the right psychic for certain people.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty clear to tell them that I'm not the right psychic for you. Do you know what I mean? Like, not everybody's, you know, not everybody's the right therapist for somebody. Not everybody's the right doctor. So, you know, this is something like, if you did have this instance with a client like this, you wouldn't take them on, would you?
No.
You would say, you know, I'm going to refer you to a colleague or someone I think that has a style that more suits you.
Yes.
And that's what you would do. So speak to your advisor before you write anything down. And then, and if you're not liking what they're saying, you know, have you Googled this school at all? Has anybody else come up with a similar thing?
No, I didn't look too much.
I would advise you
I
always advocate everybody, do your research. So Google, you know, the life coaching and not passing your certification, and see if you can see different people perhaps complaining, because it gives you a more leverage that you're not the only one.
Yeah.
And I'd be surprised if you were the only one, and see how they handled it and what they might have to say.
Okay.
So you arm yourself. But now, With if you don't get your certification, how does that affect you, by the way?
It's one of those things is I like literally the certification is kind of like, you know, I'm waiting for that for the beginning of the next chapter of my life. In my heart, my mind, like there's something to it. So it's like, you know, I deserve it. I'm working so
exactly.
hard. I deserve this. And like as a coach, how can you even grade me on my coaching style? Listen to me in an authentic situation, not a testing scenario. Thank you. And you'll see my true intuition kick in. You'll see my true coaching style. When you put me in a situation like that, it's not natural. So I can't pick up any natural cues because she's testing me and she's in the mindset of a tester. So
that's how I would feel, you know, when people want to test people's psychic abilities, by the way,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to test, but I could imagine that I would be very uncomfortable in that situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to do me a favor and email me when you find out what happens. The ultimate goal, it looks to me, you're going to get your certification. So, I mean, that's
okay,
the ultimate
perfect.
Year. So. That's the end product of it. Why is God putting you through this? Maybe there's something in the school that's not right that God would like you to be
change.
The person who changes or brings it to the light. And I always tell God, why does it always have to be me? Why do you have to pick me? Can't you pick somebody else to do this? He goes, no, because you'll do it, because you'll speak up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he won't sit right with you.
That's myself. Yeah,
okay,
I felt
and
that
happens
way.
To and it happens to me a numerous times. A lot of things I'd like to let slide. I have an issue with PayPal, my account, and you know I would like it's $175 at this point. I'd like to let it slide, but I can't do it because they can't just take $175 out of my account. Okay,
I know.
You can't, you just can't do that. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I've been speaking to their people, a lot of runaround. I did write a letter to the CEO, and it's a lot better response. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to tell you. So you first go through your advisor, and then if you're not happy with that, you go to the CEO or whoever is the head of the place
okay,
with your
perfect.
Complaints. Because they're
yeah.
usually the ones that more address it. And, you know, I'm seeing you're getting your certification. I just think it's a little bit more of a test on God's part.
I know. And I knew it, too. The way I felt, I was like, my soul, it was like, because I'm very in tune with my life lessons now. And I'm like, the way I was feeling towards this, I was like, oh, you know, with the feeling of like, this is the end of this chapter of my life, like the new beginnings are coming. And, you know, it's one of those things is like, you know, and I have no problem speaking up for other people in this program too. This is not fair. You didn't even really prepare us. And you're the school that teaches us there are no mistakes. How can you grade us then? Like, how
right,
is that
exactly.
authentic?
All right. And that's what you want to, you know, say you weren't properly prepared for it. And, you know, maybe you need to be coached on the life coaching test. Okay.
Yeah, like, I know.
Somebody
yeah.
needs to coach me on how to do this, okay?
Yeah.
Because if it seems like it's very formulaic, by the way. They mm-hmm. want you to follow a formula like, this question, then you ask that kind of question, then you get this, and then you do that. It might be really too simple. It may be so dummied down that you're just too smart.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? So, you know, it might be just they want you to dummy it down. So see if you can, if that's the case. But, you know, I do see you getting a certification. So I don't want you losing sleep tonight. I want you to get a good night's sleep, and you'll deal with it tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy.
Right.
Thanks so much.
Email me and let me know.
I will. I'll let you know.
Okay, you know I love you so much.
Love you, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, did you hear that, Nicole? Isn't it hard in life when you're being rated and graded and ay, 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 ay?
Yes.
You know, it's
yes,
why I'm
yes,
such a lone wolf. I mean, if you know, I'm such a lone wolf about things because, you know, all this stuff, this irks me. And, you mm-hmm. know, you do have to prepare people for what they're going into. I mean, you just feel like, you feel like your heart breaks. I thought I'm going to ace this, and now all of a sudden you're telling me I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. But, first of all, I think that's absolutely, it's just absolute nonsense. You know, because you can't take something that's so subjective and possibly do a pass-fail on it. It's just, it's not fair. It's not right. And it's you know, it's very, very disappointing, you know, that it's even, that she's even in a situation like that.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, it really, really is. Because, you know, I mean, that's like saying, you know, I mean, for whatever the situation was, okay, I mean, look at, just ask anybody who's ever gone to therapy before. Do you always stick with the first therapist that you try? No. You know, sometimes you got to try people on, see if they fit, and some will fit better than others, okay? Just like I always say with relationships and everything else, it's an interview. And you know what? Some people are great fits and some people are not. So I don't think that by this one person not being compatible with her, that it's a fair assessment of her ability to say, well, no, she can't do this, or no, she's incapable of doing this. Well, maybe she's incapable of doing it with you and with your personality. But that does not mean that she cannot help others. So it's just, it's really, really upsetting and sad to see that that happened.
I know, and it's funny because I'm one person, if I know I'm being judged, I'd never do well.
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, but do we all, does anybody? I mean, some people can react to pressure and some people can't. But, you know, but even at that, though, Cindy, from what it sounds like, you know, from what Caitlin was saying, I don't get the distinct impression that this was just Caitlin buckling under any kind of pressure. I get more of an impression that this woman was purposely trying to be combative. She was purposely trying to be resistant. She was really trying to mind fuck her, and unfortunately it worked. You know,
right.
I mean, so it seemed like whatever happened between Caitlin and this person was more intention. You know, she was acting with intent. You know, I don't think that it was just Caitlin buckling under pressure of being graded.
Yeah, no, that's what I think too. But we know she's going to be a great life coach, and you know, she'll have to coach people through these situations. You know.
Yeah, right.
Well, we do have Stacy, and I think it's going to be Stacy's 50th birthday this Sunday. So,
Stacy, and that's actually why Stacy is calling. Stacy right now is calling. Yes, it is, because she's got her birthday coming up, and her divorce is getting finalized. And Stacy wants to know. All right, Cindy. New birthday, new year, new chapter. What's going on? So,
new decade.
Hopefully, absolutely. So, let's see what the cards say for Stacy. Hello, Stacy. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Stacy. Yeah, 50 is a big one for older souls because it takes older souls about 50 years to get the blinders off and see the world for what it is. So, I mean, it really, it takes about to 50. So now that you've learned that, the next 50 years should be a lot easier for you, by the way.
Okay.
So I got the husband card. So you're supposed to be having a really good man in your life. The divorce looks like the worst is behind you, by the way.
Okay.
Which is good. When's the final, like, dotting on the line?
I'm waiting on him.
Okay. So he hasn't put the papers through, or he hasn't?
He hasn't gotten back to me on them yet, so.
Okay. You know, he's just going to stall as long as he can. You know that about money. But it looks like if you put it in your mind, I want this done, how long are you going to wait for him to do this, to get the papers back?
I'm going to give him just maybe a week or so, just to, you know, he said he's going to look it over and let me know.
And when did you give them to him?
He just got them last week.
Okay. All right. So last week already? All right.
Yeah.
You know, don't be too patient with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was the one that was pushing for it. And, like, I was going away on vacation, and he was pushing for me to give it to him before I left. So.
Now he's going to drag his feet a bit. Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
All right. But I did get the soulmate card as well.
Okay.
And are you ready to close the chapter on your soulmate that can't step up to the plate?
I feel like I am, but I'm still having a very hard time with it.
I know, and part of it is you haven't found a good soulmate to take his place.
I know.
And so, you know, we do have more than one soulmate. Are you still contacting him and communicating?
I am.
Okay, so it's going to be hard to break away from him as long as you're still connecting.
I know, and I felt like I wasn't going to. I was trying not to be in touch with him while I was gone, and then I talked to him when I got back. So I haven't seen him, but I've talked to him.
Okay, and of course that lets him think that he still has you and he doesn't have to move forward.
I know.
So, you know, I'll give you an example. Today a client came in. She went through a situation about 2 years back with a guy she'd been with for like 2 years, and suddenly he wasn't sure he wanted this committed relationship. He was still in school. He was older though, 38 or something. And, you know, started pulling away from her. And I had to tell her, you can't accept that. You have to take your 2 feet out of it and tell him this is not what you signed on for. And you're going to have to stand firm on it. And she would come for readings over a period of like 5 months, really upset because she hadn't contacted him. She had stayed firm. When he'd contact her, she would say, no, this is not what I signed on for. And I would watch her face devastated, and I would say, you can't back down on this. If you back down on it, you're going to let him come and go as he pleases. Well, the end of this story is she came today with an engagement ring on her hand.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So what I'm trying to say is I looked at her and I said, you know you did the real suffering. You know you did not calling him no matter how much you wanted to, how hard it was. He had to fear losing you more than loving you. You had to stay firm on it. You had to be the one of the first women to teach men they can't come and go as they please. And look, and he surprised her on her birthday. She couldn't believe it. And I was like, see, you let him know. What you're doing is enabling this man. You know, as long as you're willing to enable him, it shows me you still have your rose-colored glasses on. You still believe you could fix people. You still give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You don't have enough self-love. You don't love yourself the way you love your children. You're a little bit afraid of commitment, or you wouldn't be sitting around waiting for this man. So you're kind of telling the universe you're not really, you know, healed. You're not really seeing the world the way you're supposed to, even though you know how you're supposed to be seeing it.
Okay.
So I know it's going to be hard for you to stand so firm, but he's not going to budge forward because he doesn't have to budge forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost when we put it in our mind, we want it to be a certain person. And I could see why you would want to, because you have a very strong soulmate connection here. But you do need a man who's available.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not available.
No, he's not.
And as a sisterhood of women, you're not acting karmically correct.
I know.
Okay, which means, you know, if he chooses to stay with his wife, whether she's a bitch, I don't care what reason, he's made that decision, and as a sisterhood of women, you're supposed to really back away.
Mm-hmm.
So that men can't have their cake and eat it too. So they can't come and go as they please, and they can't pull this nonsense. So, you know, you're kind of giving the universe mixed messages rather than, you know, saying I really want, you know, saying that prayer for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's this man, so be it. If it's another man, then bring it forth. But as long as you're kind of holding on to him, the universe usually doesn't start bringing another soulmate into alignment. They'll usually keep it at bay.
Right.
So I don't know how fast you want to move your life forward or change.
I mean, I do. I actually do. I want to find somebody that's going to reciprocate my feelings.
And I'm not saying he doesn't reciprocate your feelings. This man loves you. He just can't act on them. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. He's afraid. You know, for you, it's realizing you want more from, you know, from him than you're going to get and than he can possibly give. And, you know, you don't have to stop loving him. You know, you can love him like you love a dead man with your heart, soul, mind. You just can't put your body or your voice or talk to him. You have to be more telepathic kinds of communication on the part, on the, both of your parts. You know, I don't see him leaving his wife anytime soon, by the way.
Yeah.
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 I mean, and even if she died, by the way, he's got other issues.
Yeah.
So,
I know he's not perfect, believe me.
But he's like a committed commitment phobic. He's committed to a woman he doesn't love all that much. True commitment, if he were to come to as a soulmate, brings up a lot of unhealed issues. And when people are 50, if they haven't really been doing steadily healing their issues, they're probably not going to heal that much in this lifetime. So he tends to be a kind of man that puts a Band-Aid on a carcinoma. He doesn't really want the deeper healing.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really want that. You know, your children need to see a better version of love. So the universe would like that for you. You know, this is a year on your birthday. I got two very good cards on you. You know, two ace cards. You're supposed to be in love by the time you get to your next birthday, and more money, better money. And you're also supposed to be divorced. So, and the kids look good.
Those are the
good cards. And, you know, sometimes when you're feeling lonely, it's your birthday and you felt like you wanted to maybe communicate to him. But do you feel worse after you talk to this man?
I feel good when I hear from him because it's a response, but then I don't always see him, so it's not what I'm looking for. You know, it's not the relationship I'm looking for. It's like a friendship, you know?
Right, and again, if you want to be lovers with someone, they can't really be your friend.
I know.
You know, the two things don't work well together. They just,
and
they
even
just
the whole
don't.
Twin flame thing. I mean, I felt like that's kind of what it is, but it still doesn't work, so...
Well, remember, if you read Grant Me a Higher Love, at this stage of human consciousness, twin flames are oftentimes not able to make it work, by the way.
Right.
It's too
right.
much healing. It's too much healing demand. And, you know, he may not want to do that much healing.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that you don't go on, you know, the alchemy of two twin flames. And for those listeners who don't know what a twin flame is, although we have many soulmates, we only have one twin flame or twin soul, and they have the other half of our soul. And when we meet them, they help us evolve and grow. And we evolve and grow whether the person is in our life or not. Okay, it just stirs up that your soul to grow. And, you know, what happens is because he's had different lifetimes than you have, and you may have had more lifetimes than him, and you've had different experiences, even though you started out with the same soul. It's almost like when people are identical twins, but if you were to, like, separate them at birth and one was raised by different family than another, they may be so profoundly different in some ways. There would be similarities, but they would be different because of the environment and how they were
mm-hmm.
raised. That's what happens over lifetimes. You may have healed certain issues that he hasn't healed. It's usually with twin flames at this stage of consciousness, one of them is more evolved than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it might have started out even sometimes that one of the twin, he might have been more evolved than you when it started, but you kept evolving,
mm-hmm.
and he's not. So you're better off with a soulmate who's a healed soulmate, who's ready, willing, and able to love you and commit to you, than you are with a twin flame who's going to rip your heart out.
Yeah, because that's what it feels like.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You're much better. And what you have to realize is love isn't pain. And what this is pain. And love is peace and it's joy. It isn't you being with a man who calls all the shots. You don't know when or if you're going to see him again. That's not healthy. It's not right. You might as well stay with your husband, by the way, if you're going to be with someone who's going to call all the shots. That, you know, you didn't come this far getting a divorce and in liberation to have a man call all the shots. So, I mean, it's taking a lot of crap in the name of love, no doubt. But it is very, very difficult. You don't ever have to stop loving him, but you have to, you know, say, I really need a flesh and blood man in my life. And it's going to have to be you to end it. He's never going to end it. He will continue you forever.
Is that something I should do face-to-face with him and just say those things to him?
Yeah, you could say those things face-to-face and get it some closure.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to believe it, by the way. I think
now
he'll still contact you. He'll go, yeah, she's saying this again. Okay, mm-hmm. And then, you know, he'll contact you. And he'll wait 3 months, and in a moment of weakness, you'll speak to him. Almost like you're going to have to keep in mind when he does contact you, it's always, what's your intention in doing this? Is it to stick 2 feet and have a relationship with me? Have you left your wife? I mean, these are important questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not settling for less. Because you're going to get mad at yourself after a while. You're not going to be mad at him. You'll be mad at yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could waste 5 years thinking he's going to come with you. And when she dies, if she were to die in 5 years, I still don't think he might come forward to you. He's got issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right now he could say it's because of my wife and it's because of that. You know, he can hide behind that. But when that obstacle's out of the way, then he might have to face the fact that he's got other fears that are keeping him from you. So, you know, you do have a great birthday year opening up, by the way.
Okay.
So let it move forward and, you know.
And tomorrow's a new moon, right? So to set your intentions.
Yes, set your intentions. And what you want is a man who can really be there for you in every way. soulmates are two equals. You're not mommy to a boy that doesn't want to, you know, step up to the plate. You want to be with this really great equal, and that's what's here. It is very painful, and what you're not wanting to do is the suffering. The ending of a relationship of a soulmate feels like a death. It really is painful.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to do is, like, you don't want to pull the plug on, you know, so the mercy killing, you don't want to do that. It's like, but you just keep drawing it out longer and longer. And you really do have to mourn for it, because it really is a very painful thing for a soulmate relationship to end. Really is a lot of suffering involved. And, you know, by just having that little connection with him, you're sort of not doing that deep mourning.
Okay.
Nobody likes to suffer, by the way. But,
yeah.
You know, but in order to not become a neurotic human being, you got to suffer. But most neurotic people are people that haven't done the real suffering of life. Everything matters to them. Once you've done the real suffering of life, very little bothers you. You begin to realize that doesn't matter. That's not important. So,
okay.
You know, do the suffering. You know, Americans,
I feel like
never
I have.
you've been doing the suffering. I get it, but it's got to almost be like close the door.
Yeah,
and
rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, just close the door. Again, because what I'm seeing is I don't think they're going to bring you another soulmate as long as this door is still open. Because he'll sabotage it. Maybe he'll turn around and say, well, I'm stepping up to the plate. Doesn't mean he will, and then you're going to, like, not be with the soulmate. You know, this soulmate who's coming doesn't deserve to have their heart ripped out because you can't decide what you want. So, you know, if they should bring in the next month or two another soulmate, you would know they've already made the decision for you anyway. They know the
door is
closed.
And I have met
closed.
Somebody who I went out on two dates with who's very nice. So I don't know if that's going to go anywhere,
so,
if it's a
distraction. That's what I'm saying. So maybe you should just start giving that a chance.
Yeah, and I am.
Part of you, you're not going to open your heart to that man, because first of all, you don't want to hurt him in case you're going to be with the
right.
other guy.
Right.
And it makes sense to, I'm the world's expert on soulmates. When I met my husband, TJ, I was expecting another man to step up to the plate. He said he was. And, you know, I just said, I had enough of this. This is going on for too long. Just bring me one who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit. And I met TJ the next day. It told me, the universe doesn't bring two soulmates at the same time. It told me, close the door on that one. Okay?
Okay.
So you may be getting that message, close the door on it, you know, and move forward. Because right now it's not soulmate love. It's toxic.
Yeah.
It's causing you pain. It's addictive. You can't let go of it. You go back for another fix and you're mad at yourself. So once love starts going toxic, it really is highly addictive. So that sometimes that becomes the bind that's binding us together is the addiction of it. So you're not getting very much from this man, by the way.
No, I know.
Well, you'll call in and let us know how it goes with this new guy. He looks like a nice guy here, by the way.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you and happy 50th birthday.
Thank you, Cindy.
Bye.
Bye.
I love when people don't mind sharing their happy birthdays with us and their age because, you know, it is what it is.
Absolutely.
It is what it is, right? We have Jennifer. Yep. And when you put sunflower, I know exactly who she is.
Yeah, I knew that you would. I was actually just going to write sunflower to see if you knew if it was Jennifer, but I just wanted you to know that it was her. And she's actually looking... she's been kind of stagnant, Cindy, and actually I'm happy that she stayed on the line because I was having a nice little chat with her in the chat room there, and all of a sudden all the calls disappeared off my screen. So I was like, I'm like, okay, Jennifer, you're going to be the next call. Bye. And I was just like, I had to put her back in the queue so I can try to get everybody's calls because all the numbers disappeared. Like, I can see where there were lines, but no names, no numbers, no everything, just blank spaces. So luckily,
oh, that's
Jennifer
always
is still
fun.
With us. Oh, yeah.
Well, and
so
Jennifer
is still with us.
We'll explain what the sunflowers is. Those people who come to my house know that I usually have sunflowers. And last year, by the way, I only got a few, and I was kind of disappointed, but I got this one that was really huge. And then, and that was around the end of June. And it then started to have all these other sunflowers shoot off of it. And it probably ended up to have 60 sunflowers come off of it, and they kept getting smaller and smaller. So October, it only looked like little daisies coming off of it. So although I didn't get many, the dead kept that one alive from July through October. So she loved
nice.
The sunflowers because they resonated with her when she came to my house. So that's how I remember her. She said, oh, my God, I know I belong here because of the sunflowers.
And you know what? And she said the exact same thing when we were chatting in the chat room there. She was like, Cindy knows me because I love her sunflowers.
It is true. And just to, you know, let Jennifer know, I didn't plant any yet, but there's like six coming up from last year. So that one that was the magic
nice.
One, just already, you know, I dropped six seeds
it's
on there. So. So I'm expecting they must be the children of that. So maybe we'll have a similar experience where we have 4 months from one flower.
That would be awesome.
So we're
going to
talk to Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Okay.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer. So you know, you don't have any drama or trauma. You just kind of bored here?
No, I'm not. No drama or trauma. No, I'm doing well. But as I was telling Nicole, I'm going about life. I'm going out with friends. I'm getting, I'm out there. But it just kind of seems slow, like blah.
Okay, with relationships, you mean? Finding a guy? Okay, good. Because when's your birthday? Just the month and the day?
Coming up, June 4th.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because the cards I got look like an alignment of a birthday coming up. So it's a very good time to get a reading, you know, before a birthday. What I got was the Wheel of Fortune was the first card, which with this birthday, you're opening up a really good five-year period in which anything you want is yours. Across from that is the Soulmate card. So you're supposed to meet him this birthday year, June
Yay.
And forward. So I like the way you said things are good and there's no drama and you're happy because the universe likes us to stand on our own 2 feet without a man or without a relationship.
Oh, yes.
For a little bit of time.
Many years.
Okay, so you've been standing on your own 2 feet.
Yeah.
And
my own bills.
Right,
everything.
And being a whole big grown-up who can emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually.
Check, finances are good. You know, I'm not saying that it couldn't be better, but I'm not. I don't owe $30,000 to anybody. I mean, things are good. I feel like I'm blessed. I just
good.
You
and
know,
that's when love comes.
Okay.
That's when the soulmate comes. And you have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her?
Oh, I speak to her every morning when
okay, because grandma's like
bedroom.
This. When am I bringing you for your birthday? A soulmate. Soulmate love always comes from God and someone who passed away. So I'm sure it's probably going to be close to your birthday because she wants it to be your birthday present. So she knows who he is. He's very smart, by the way. He's very loyal. He's a man, not a boy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your grandma says, wouldn't I pick someone who's really, really good for you? She knows what you need and she knows what she loves. She also likes my sunflowers. Your grandma likes my sunflowers too. She's laughing.
Yeah.
She goes, I love. She's claiming to be one of the dead people that kept those going. I mean, really, nobody has a sunflower from July to October. I mean, it just is a phenomenon that this thing was.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying this will change your whole life. Okay, so are you ready for your whole life to change? I mean, this is the man you're probably going to marry. Are you ready for that?
That's it. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay, because you got the unusual alignment of cards. You got the Tower card and the Hangman, both which represent your life's going to change on a dime quickly. Because when this love is brought, it changes quickly. I see it with my soulmate, my clients all the time. Like I was reading one woman today, and she said, my sister, you're doing a reading for her, and you always read her, but she met this soulmate 3 months ago. It, really happened fast in this whole bit, and I'm like, well, she was due for one. I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so in love. I go, I'm not surprised. I've been reading her for 3 years now. I've been preparing her, getting her to cut away from her husband who wasn't good and another relationship that wasn't good. So I said, she's already learned the lesson she needs to learn from the bad relationships. Anybody who gets readings from me learn what they need to learn from bad relationships.
Now you're ready
for the good one.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Yes.
So you're very strong psychologically. You're a strong woman. You are giving off a little bit vibrations that you're not interested or you're taken. So you might want to work on that a bit.
Okay.
So You know, do
maybe
you let people know you're available?
Kind of capable, you know. That's only because of years of being alone. I mean, I go on dates, but I feel like I'm so self-sufficient that maybe I give off that vibe that I don't need a man. Well, but I do. I mean, I would love one. Not me, but want.
Right. And that's why it's here. And, you know, this is the best year of your life, according to your grandma, that, you know, everything's going to change. And, you know, even where you live, because, you know, when love changes everything, true love, where you live, everything. So I hope you're ready for the big, big changes here.
I am. I say it every day with my daily affirmations and when I do, you know, I like my vision board and I write. And I'm, you know, I'm ready. I always ask God, I'm like, you know, please send him right now. I am ready to receive him.
Good.
So,
perfect.
You were talking about changes. Would it affect work changes too?
It looks like work might stay the same, you know, for a while. But ultimately, even there's some changes surrounding that. So, but good changes, by the way.
Okay.
And
okay.
Do you want babies?
No.
Okay, good.
I just want to travel with my soulmate.
Because this guy doesn't look like he wants children either. So
perfect.
That's good. You know what I mean? It could, you know, if you're traveling and doing things, it looks like, you know, you will have, you know, he is, your grandma knows what you needed, okay? He likes to travel. Are you happy with your job right now?
You know, I love my job. I'm in sales. I love sales. I will be at my company 12 years this September, and I'm not sure if it's just me just feeling the, you know, the blasé that I'm feeling in my personal life transferring over to my professional life, but I love my customers. I'm not sure if I should start looking up. I'm not looking, you know, at all, but
no, because what I'm seeing is that your attitude was going to change. In other words, you'll just be happier. So when you're happier, that flows over into your job, by the way.
Well, that's what
and
I
again,
thought, because when you spoke of changes, because when I'm happy in love, I could see myself waking up one morning and say, you know what, babe, I'm just going to quit my job and find
right,
something else.
Right, because that's
I
what
really
I'm saying.
Love.
You might quit it. You know, he might say
right.
We're going to just go travel. We're just going to try to see what we can find in Europe for a year.
Right.
You right. Be able to do that. First of all, he's a pretty successful man, so it's not like he could, you know, he couldn't just pick up and go with you somewhere, so...
okay, that's great.
But there changes are one that your work you're more in control of as far as
yes.
Things go. I don't see that
right.
At all. But this is going to be like the year of love. So you need to call in because I wouldn't expect you not to have a love coming. So you know, we want to hear this.
If you have some sunflowers out, I will definitely stop by.
and they're starting to come up now. If we'd only get some warm weather here.
Well, I know it's freezing today, as you guys both know. I have the heat on. I shut it off for a few days. But no,
I had to put it on. I couldn't stand it.
I couldn't take it anymore. But thank you. This sounds really fantastic. Really positive. It kind of resonates with how I'm feeling right now. I'm in a really great place and I'm ready, and I guess I'm just impatient, you know.
Well,
like
you should
else.
Be, because we want to be impatient, because it, you know, God doesn't want us to get so lackadaisical that we're happy being alone. God likes to hear us like impatience. I want love, because
right.
We're here to love.
Right.
And you start
right.
To feel like these are days being wasted. We're supposed to be, you know, in love and loving. So,
you know,
right
I'm
now,
sure
just
my grandmother is nagging him too.
Oh yeah. She's a delight, though, your grandma. She's funny. She's very funny from the other side. She always gets a kick when she comes through to you because she's so loud and clear, this grandma.
Oh, I love her.
And
but
she loves
you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And, thank
you. Have
you.
A
I really
great
appreciate
summer
it.
If we don't see each other.
Oh,
bye.
Okay. You too. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Okay, so we're going to try to do a quick reading on Austin and San Diego. Okay. General reading, he said, okay?
Yeah.
Nicole, are you there? Okay. So,
yeah.
Austin. Okay, let's see what we have on Austin.
Yeah. You got it, my dear. Yes, Austin just basically, you know, I asked him what his question was. He's like, do I really need a question or can I just, you know, can she just pull cards? So I'm thinking that he's looking for just a little bit of everything right now. Cindy, he didn't really have anything in particular in mind. So let's see if, you know, any of the cards are interesting with Austin. Hello, Austin. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hi, Austin. So there's some nice changes in your future, too. I hope you're ready for change because you got changes cards here. And good changes. Good changes. You're supposed to be a man who at the end of your life feels like you've accomplished everything you wanted. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, there's some things that need to be accomplished before you would feel that way. And so expect the positive changes. Career-wise looks better in the upcoming years. Are you happy with what you're doing career-wise? Because there's a little bit of changes, but much, much better here.
Yeah, I do. I'm just hoping that my hobby turns into more of a career.
Okay, because that's the change that I really see here. And are you putting some energy into that? Like, because where we put our energies, it manifests. So
yeah.
Put some more energies into that career, you know, that hobby becoming that career. It's a very good change, though. It looks actually very lucrative if you could make that change, by the way. And it doesn't look that difficult for you, by the way. Just a little bit of patience.
Okay.
In terms of love, it looks like do you have a relationship now, by the way?
I do.
Okay, because it looks like you're supposed to be in love. Are you in love with this person?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because, you know, your love looks pretty good in these cards, by the way. And we'll continue. How long have you been with this person?
2 years.
Okay, so now you know, by now you really know who this person is, correct? You really know who this person is. You know what the person's like, and the relationship looks like it should continue into the future. By the way, do you want to make it permanent more? Do you want to marry this person or?
I would.
Okay,
just
good.
If he was smoking and drinking.
If the person would stop smoking and drinking, you said. Okay, so are you, we know we can't fix people. If you've listened to the show at all, we can't fix people.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of love between the two of you. Certain things are deal breakers in a relationship, and, you know, depends how much you can, you know, maybe if the person could modify the behaviors, you know, a little behavior modification, a little willpower. Have you been working on suggesting that?
I have.
I know. It's not easy. We're not going to fix people. But I see this person doesn't want to leave you, by the way, you know, at all.
Right.
You might be the one that leaves this person, but this person's not leaving you. And I think you know that at this point. And what I'm seeing, there's nothing bad in your cards. It's just like a little bit, you're ready for like the everything you want to happen. And you're like my last caller, a little impatient. And those changes will happen career-wise. And as far as the love goes, probably the next 6 months will determine whether you're going to stay with this person or not, whether you are. Have you put it in your mind to figure out what happens? Have you already thought that?
Yeah. I actually already mentioned 6 months.
Right, because sometimes we just need to say, okay, I'm going to give it my all for 6 months, and I'm going to see if the person can modify some of the behaviors. We can't change or fix people, especially if this person's over the age of 25, which it appears to be. It's pretty solid in behaviors. But there's no lack of love. If you know the person loves you.
Okay.
I mean, this person loves you. Whether they're going to be able to be the person you want is going to be determined. But you actually have a very good 5-year period opening up also. Do you have a vision of where you want to be 5 years from now?
Yeah, I have a vision of that.
Okay, older souls are control freaks. They can't just visualize where they want to be. They got to figure out, how am I going to get it? Where is it going to come from? But your job is to see career-wise, love-wise, what you want. And watch it manifest. You really don't have negative cards. You actually have really pretty good cards here. You know, the relationship is something that you're going to have to figure out, if you can deal with what it is. And, again, changing behaviors isn't what our job. This person has to change the behaviors on their own. But nothing's bad in your cards. You actually have really a good 5-year period opening up. So just use that. This time is a time where you could make changes career-wise, by the way. Very good. So,
okay.
I mean, I would like you to call in and let us know how those career changes happen, and because it should be sooner than later,
okay.
too. Well, good luck to you, and thanks for at the end of our show. And Austin, thanks for calling all the way from San Diego, by the way.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Nicole, we're just about the end of our show. And
we are.
You know, he had such nice cards. I was looking at them. Good 5-year period. It's funny. When we know that, when we know we have the Wheel of Fortune, by the way, it's something to take advantage of because God really wants to remove obstacles from our life. So when you're in that period.
Well, I kind of got that impression, too. Like, he was, like, a little bit hesitant to kind of say, you know, one way or another. You know, so you could almost kind of tell that, you know, he wants other things, but maybe something might be holding him back. So,
and again, you know, as long as you're in that Wheel of Fortune 5-year period, usually, you know, this is by the time you hit that 5-year mark, you've really got that life you want. So that that's great. We don't always get that.
As long as you stay out of your own way.
Yep. We get that once.
As long as
maybe,
you stay out of your own way.
Yep, and I find a lot of people sabotage their own ways. We know that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I said that's the caveat to that, is that, you know what, you know, you can't get in your own way and then say, well, hey, you said I was going to do this. It's like, no, I said that this should be happening, provided that you take all the steps and you do your portion of the work. So.
Right, exactly. Well, anyway, we'll all speak next week. And today's Cinco de Mayo, so I don't know if you're going to have a drink tonight or anything, Nicole. So
I don't know. It's Thursday.
No,
I got work in the morning.
Yeah, I know. So it's just another 5th of May for us.
Yeah, maybe on the weekend I might have like a glass of wine or something. But, you know, if I got a drink tonight, then, you know, it's like I'm not making it to the gym in the morning. It's a pain in the ass, though. So. But happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody who is partaking this evening, because
sure.
I'm not having a couple of drinks here does not mean that you shouldn't be. So as long as you are drinking safely and securely, please go and have one on my behalf.
Exactly. Well, good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.